The shooting death of Mario Woods, captured with cell phone footage, occurred just an hour before the San Francisco Police Commission passed a new body camera policy. The new policy prohibits officers from reviewing footage in critical situations, meaning officers can't watch the footage after incidents, so the videos won't change their reports. That's a small step towards eventually equipping the entire department with the body cameras. As they make their plans, San Francisco city officials can look to Oakland, one of the first major cities to use the cameras. But that doesn't mean the Oakland Police Department has all the answers either. Reporter Holly J. McDeed went to Oakland to see what the cameras do show and what they don't.
Oakland Tribune crime reporter David DeBold still remembers when he got the call from the Oakland Police Department. They wanted local reporters to come to police headquarters to watch body camera footage that showed two recent officer-involved shootings.
Sort of set a precedent there. There really hasn't been a department in the Bay Area that's released body camera footage. I mean, these devices are rather new.
Oakland police have had body cameras since 2010, but the agency still hasn't worked out a policy for what to show the public. So DeBolt gathered with about 10 other local reporters in the Oakland Police Department headquarters and...
They just played the video. If you can imagine holding a camera on your shoulder and running, it's a very choppy footage. You know, kind of bobs up and down. And these three officers were running. It was a foot chase.
The first video was of Nate Wilkes, who police say had a gun when they shot him. DeBolt says it's hard to see. Then, DeBolt says, they moved on to footage of Richard Linyard. In the footage, he's on the run, he hops a fence, and then he's gone.
They stop the chase, and they start a search.
That sound from the first 35 seconds of the chase. Police released it last fall. There's no footage available for the 20 minutes that happened next. When the camera comes back on, it shows police performing CPR on Linyard's lifeless body. Some, including Linyard's mother, still believe he was murdered by police during the 20 missing minutes. But DeBolt says he couldn't determine that.
It's not my job to determine whether or not the shooting's justified or not. I just lay out the facts.
Oakland Police Chief Sean Wendt says he doesn't want to release footage that can jeopardize an investigation, but...
You know, I also have a competing desire to sort of prevent a riot from occurring. And if correcting the misinformation that's out there will help in that regard, then I think we have to consider that.
The Oakland Police Department is still trying to strike that balance.
I don't believe that we've worked this out entirely, and I also don't believe that across the state there's any kind of uniformity in this at all.
Wendt says the biggest impact of the cameras has been how officers and citizens react, just knowing they're being watched. The cameras, resting on the officers' shoulders, are neon green and they glow. And over the last 4 years, the department has seen a 70% reduction of use of force.
I wouldn't credit it at all to the body-worn cameras, but I definitely think that the body-worn camera has sort of a civilizing effect on both ends of the camera. I think the officers behave better, know they're being recorded. But I think in many cases that the people they're dealing with also behave better.
But when something does go wrong, Oakland's body cameras don't always tell the whole story. Take, for example, the footage that was released earlier this year that showed the officer-involved death of Hernan Jaramillo outside his East Oakland home. Before we go on, just a warning that the audio from this video is disturbing.
You can stay here till you relax.
I can't breathe, sir. I can't breathe.
Jaramillo is on the sidewalk outside his house. Officers are holding him to the ground and telling him to calm down.
Relax. There's no reason to act like this. All we wanted to do was talk to you.
Okay.
Sir, you see what you're doing? You're tensing up.
No one's pushing on your chest.
I can't breathe.
In the video, you can hear him plead for his sister, Anna Biasini, to help, while officers reassure him he's not in danger. His nickname for her was Botina.
They're killing me right now.
Then, for a while, after my body was completely and silent.
Biasini remembers that night. She says she heard loud sounds from her brother's room. So she called the cops, who mistook Carmillo for an intruder. Officers say he resisted when they tried to detain him. But Biasini and her family say the cops should have called for medical help sooner.
The video is live. It tells exactly what happened. It's so, you know, shows you the truth about that night.
The footage wasn't released to the public until Biasini and her family settled a wrongful death lawsuit for $450,000. After her family in Colombia saw the footage, they decided to reverse the settlement. Now they think they've got a shot in court. To them, the proof is in her brother's screams for help. But that's also part of the trouble. The screams might be loud and clear, but the images, Biasini admits, are dark and blurry.
In the video is you cannot see very, very much. Is you can see like shadows in the dark shadows and gray shadows.
They may not answer all the questions.
John Burris is Biasini's attorney, and he says the footage alone isn't enough to prove the officer's actions caused her brother's death. Here's why. The city claims Hermio died as a result of cocaine in his system.
City's view was, well, he was under the influence of drugs, and so he was intoxicated, and so he became excited, and as a consequence of that excitement, it's called excited utterance, he died.
The video footage doesn't rule this possibility out.
Our view is, no, you prevented him from breathing, and by suppressing his diaphragm, and he was trying to breathe, and ultimately he lost oxygen to the brain, and therefore he died.
And, well, the video footage doesn't rule this possibility out either.
And videos do have different perspectives, because at the end of the day, you have to fill it in.
But, he says, without the footage, people would have to rely mostly on the police officer's version of events. Body cameras are like an extra witness.
The police have a tremendous media machine that is designed to project the police in the most positive light at all times, regardless of what they've done. And a video camera is one mechanism to undercut that.
Officer Albie Esparza works for what Burris calls the media machine. He's the San Francisco Police Department's public information officer, and he knows firsthand how body cameras and cell phone footage have changed policing, not just in San Francisco, but nationwide.
In the past, you know, people thought that there was a thin blue coat of blue of silence, and that doesn't exist anymore.
The most recent shooting to come to light is the death of Mario Woods, who was shot by police in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood last year. Since then, there's been widespread protests, plus three local investigations and an investigation from the Federal Justice Department. But recently, the San Francisco City Attorney ruled that the police who shot and killed Mario Woods acted lawfully to protect themselves and bystanders from a man who was armed with a knife. Esparza says he understands how that could make people angry, since the shooting activists have called for the resignation of Police Chief Greg Sir.
No one wants to see anybody, you know, shot and killed, regardless of the circumstances, right? So it is very upsetting. It's a very upsetting video.
In December, the San Francisco Police Commission voted to restrict officers from seeing footage after a critical incident, like an officer-involved shooting. Police watchdogs are worried that if officers see the footage, their memory will be tainted, or they'll change their version of events. Officers are worried that without watching the footage, they'll get the story wrong.
If officers are not allowed to view what they just experienced in the incident, then, you know, they're basically writing a report blind, if you will, just by memory. And so sometimes you might leave out critical information or critical details.
And, Esparza says, that could put officers in a position of appearing dishonest when their memory fails them or their vision proves inadequate compared to the view of a body camera.
And hopefully, you know, answers lots of questions and does actually provide community with some kind of, you know, the increase in confidence in their police department.
In the meantime, the rest of us have cameras on our cell phones ready to record. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.